Good morning. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Our first community garter information of 2025 coming up very shortly, where you hear the very latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána first here on the show. Some of your comments, though, coming in the first hour. Sacked and getting full pay. Which is it, Greg? They're afraid to sack him as it would have to go to court. Misinformation. No, it's not. I really don't want to insert myself in the Enoch Burke story because there's nothing in it for me. He was dismissed. He's appealing that dismissal. And whilst the appeal is ongoing, he's on full pay. The appeal would have gone ahead by now, but Mr. Burke contested that some of the people that were on the panel to hear that appeal, he was in court, so he doesn't believe he'd get a fair hearing. That is the facts. Where's the misinformation in that? So that is the truth. That's the facts, if you read it. Hi, just to comment on traffic congestion at the mountain top. Two into one cannot go. Basic maths. You need at least two lanes of traffic from two lanes at the mountain top roundabout straight through to the two lanes at the Portbridge roundabout. This is the only temporary solution while we wait for another bridge over the Swilly. Bad tyres possibly causing delays. More tyre enforcement. Yeah, indeed. It's when you have conditions like this that you truly know how good your tyres are. There's a mix here. Fair play to Enoch Burke standing up for what's right. A caller says, would work from home not cut traffic by at least 25%? People who can work from home should, especially on days like this. I can't make sense, the traffic, because it does sometimes feel there's lots of people not going anywhere. You see all the cars all over the place and you go into different places and there's no one there. You wonder sometimes, or I do, where are they? To alleviate the traffic at the mountain top, why do they not block off the lanes at Ballacdurg? There should only be one lane, says a listener. Inguidor, on the one road, we have a funeral home, now dock and a nursing home and a public health nurse office, and we cannot get it on the gritting roof. So the funeral home's there, now dock's there, a nursing home and the public nurse, the public health nurse's office, and it's not on the gritting route either. It doesn't make sense, some would say. Derry Greencastle bus is running, but behind time, says a listener. Gritter just passed us on the mountaintop heading towards Illistrin. The traffic's not moving slow there because the road's bad. I'm not saying the road's great and it needs gritting, I'm sure. But the bottom line is that it's about congestion. I live 5 miles outside Ardra, says a listener. I have two appointments this morning with the doctor and a scan, and I had to turn back. It's ridiculous. Lord only knows when I'll get these appointments again. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sure you were building up to that, and it's very disappointing having to turn back. The road at the mountain top is like a bottle now. Some cars getting stuck coming towards the roundabout from Illistrin. So I stand corrected. My apologies. 80 minutes from Illistrin to mountain top, causing huge delays to our bus service. Yes, indeed. Just about got in myself. Morning, Greg. Any update on driving conditions on the Letterkenny to Lifford Road? Thank you. We'll throw that out to the listeners. It normally is pretty okay, isn't it? But anyone travelled that road, let us know. We'll pass it on to the listeners. For anyone with a hospital point today, you'll be late. I'm travelling an hour and 20 minutes from Kilmacrenan, and I'm only at the mountaintop now. There's now a car broken down at Ballacdurg, so there's only one lane of traffic moving, as if things weren't bad enough. A caller says, I left Termin at 7:55 this morning. It took, wait for it, an hour and 41 minutes to get to the shopping centre. I don't know. Unless you work there. I was hoping it's like you're going up there for bread or milk. Greg, it's nothing to do with the snow, but everything to do with the drivers on the road today. They just can't drive. It's a complete joke how people drive today. Well, I mean, possibly. But let's not forget, and I've mentioned this before, there is absolutely nothing, as far as I can remember, there's absolutely nothing in your training, in your testing, in your teaching that gives you any knowledge as to how to drive in this weather. I was sitting beside someone and they were in their vehicle and they were trying to take off at high rev in first gear. And it was on not a steep gradient and they were just spinning there, just spinning and spinning and spinning. Absolutely no need for it. If they'd have just lowered the rev a little bit or even tried to take off in second gear. So they're sitting there going, my car, why is my car not moving? You know, so in the process of teaching people to drive, that basic stuff would be helpful, I think. Don't go up listening to Hill and Letterkenny. 5 cars burnt out their clutch. Oh, no. Why not take away the outer lane if it's not to be used I'm in the outer lane. I've been sitting here 1 hour and 10 minutes and still nowhere near getting through Mountain Top. Indeed, I get you. I was in the outer lane today myself because I had to go round a car that was not moving, and then I stuck in that lane. So I know where you're coming from. I live on the Cullion Road. Thankfully, most are avoiding it, so it's not too busy. But it's treacherously bad and would need treatment by Salter due to it being an important artery route serving as backup to the main road to and from Letterkenny. I agree with Andrea, who was on the show in the first hour. Grit is best stored in covered plastic bins or barrels, as rain washes the salt from it, rendering it less effective, and it tends to solidify into hard heaps without salt content. Good information. Thank you for that. A caller says, I turned right at Illestrin School to go via Glencar as I thought there would be no traffic. There's a big hill and traffic can't get through a void, so don't think you're being clever. It's not working. There is a car broken down on the outside lane on the mountain top, which is a problem. The back of Errigal Road, I'm told, isn't too bad. Also, as far as Dunlow, it's fine. And on we go. Right, Ken from ATU here. I just arrived at ATU. Once I got past the mountaintop roundabout, traffic was slow but moving on the rest of the journey. Only about 5 minutes from the mountaintop to the ATU. Thanks, Ken, for the update. You were right. That's your general experience, and it played out. I'm glad you're in there safe, and hopefully all the students get in too. It's hardly the students' fault if they're sitting on the mountaintop in traffic for 2 hours after travelling treacherous roads to get that far. Surely ATU will allow them to sit their exams when they arrive. Well, we've had no reports of students arriving late and not being allowed to sit exams, just to be clear and unfair, fair to the college or the university. The dual carriageway into Letterkenny is getting a fair dusting of snow. Just be careful, says James on Facebook. Dolores says, hi, Greg. I also have an appointment at the hospital. I don't drive. I'm so scared of a fall. I have two knee replacements and don't want to damage them. I don't know what to say in that situation, Dolores, other than trust your gut, I suppose. All right, let's take a break. Community Garda information just around the corner.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, and it is time for the first Community Garda information for 2025. Really pleased to welcome into studio Garda Sean Sweeney down from the Buncrana Garda Station. Thanks so much for joining us, Sean, and a very happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you, Greg.
Good to have you on board. Right, quite a lot to get through, so we'll crack straight on. And we'll begin with an assault in Letterkenny, Sean.
Yes, occurred in De Valera Road in the early hours of Friday, the 27th December, at approximately 3 a.m. It's alleged that one man who was part of a group of six or seven assaulted another man at that location. So the injured man sustained non-life-threatening injuries. So our appeal to anybody who witnessed the incident was in the area between 2:45 a.m. and 3:50 a.m. With dash cam footage, we asked to make available to Letterkenny on 67100.
Also, an assault being investigated at the beginning of this year in Ballybuffet.
Yes, occurred at the Main Street in Ballybuffet near the EIB Bank between approximately 1:30 a.m. and 2 a.m. on Wednesday, the 1st of January. A row broke out between a group of males and a group of females over a taxi that just pulled in. One of the females reported she was assaulted by one of the males. She sustained injuries, none of which are life-threatening in nature. So our appeal is anybody who travelled on the Main Street between those times with dash cam footage, make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167100. Or if any relevant information, you can also contact the Garda Confidential line 1800 666 111.
Staying in Ballybuffet, we'll go to Killylaston because there's a burglary being investigated there.
That's right, yeah. This took place between midday on Sunday the 15th of December and 2 p.m. on Saturday the 21st of December. So entry to shed was gained, lock was cut, and was damage caused to the roller door. Two ladders were stolen from the shed. One of the ladders is a 20-foot roofing ladder that's covered in various paint colours. The second is a ladder that is 40-foot extendable ladder with green paint down one side. So we wish to speak to anybody who may have observed suspicious activity in Killylaston between those dates. or if anybody knows where the ladder is, his current location, or has any relevant information, please contact Letterkenny on 9167100.
Yep, broad daylight, of course, and quite large objects, so yeah. It should stand out. Maybe someone saw it at the time and believed it to be normal behaviour. Sorry, it was that was between the 15th and the 21st, so it could have been any time of the day, I beg your pardon, but still quite distinctive, so someone should have seen something. Let us go now to a criminal damage incident in Ballybuffet.
Yeah, it's occurred at Kilnanarrigid in Ballybuffet between 3 p.m. on Thursday the 26th of December and 11:30 a.m. on Saturday the 28th of December. Car parked in that area outside the house was damaged between those times, and appeared it was keyed along the passenger side. So if anybody consists of the investigation or has relevant information, we ask them to contact Letterkenny Garda Station.
Right, okay, now going to Ballymacool Woods in Letterkenny, another criminal damage incident there.
That's right, yeah, this occurred approximately 6:40 a.m. on Tuesday the 31st December. A window of a house with that location was smashed at that time. So our appeal, anybody who observed any vehicles driven into Ballymacool area that time to get in touch, or if you anybody travelled in the area of Ballymacool on the R250 between Letterkenny Town and Ballymacool, or in the area of the Common Road with Dashcam between 6 a.m. at 7 a.m. that date, we ask them please make it available to Gardaí and Letterkenny.
Yeah, and there is a number of criminal damage instances let to go yet to go, this time in Remelton, Sean.
Yeah, this occurred in the area of Castle Shanna in Remelton in the early hours of Thursday, the 2nd of January. This is at approximately 4:10 a.m. Gardaí alerted the fact that the mobile home was on fire in that area. Fire services attend, and unfortunately the mobile home was destroyed as a result. To believe the fire may have been started deliberately, so our appeal, anybody who travel in that area with dash cam footage between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m, please make it available to Gardaí in Mulford. We contact 915-3060 or the Garda confidential line.
All right, and quite a worrying one there when a unit accommodation is targeted. Two more criminal damage instances, both in Buncrana. We'll start in the Burwood area.
Yeah, criminal damage occurred in Burwood at approximately 11:30 p.m. on Friday the 3rd of January. A number of windows in the house in that area were smashed, and windows of a vehicle parked at that address were smashed also. So our appeal is anybody who's in the area, dash cam footage between 11 p.m. midnight, or anybody who observed the incident or has any relevant information, please contact Gardaí Macrana on 932-0540 or the confidential line.
Yep, and the second incident in that area on the main street there, the lower main street.
Yeah, it's occurred at approximately 3:30 a.m. on Friday the 3rd of January. A couple of window panes at the front of the premises were damaged that time. We were particularly interested in sightings or dashcam footage of a youth in the area who was wearing a black hoodie, blue jeans, and who had a scarf over his head. So any relevant information, please contact Buncrana Garda Station.
Okay, now our next incident is a road traffic collision which took place in mid-December, Sean.
Yeah, this occurred at Churchtown in Cardona on Wednesday the 18th of December at approximately 7:50 p.m. So a man was crossing the road at that location when a red car collided with him. He was knocked to the ground as a result. The driver of the car then continued onwards in the direction of the mountain road. Thankfully, the injuries sustained by the man weren't life-threatening. So we were anxious to locate the vehicle in question and the driver same. So if anybody travelled in the Cairndonan area or the mountain road with a dash cam between 7:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. of the 18th of December, please make the footage available to Gardaí Buncrana.
Yeah, and presumably the person responsible can come forward. It's never too late, and it's clear, obviously, from that appeal that Gardaí is still actively investigating. Staying on the roads and instances of dangerous driving.
Yeah, there's a number of instances of dangerous driving involving a number of vehicles that occurred in Main Street in Fulcara. This is with between 11:30 p.m. on December 24th and 12:30 on the December 25th. So if anybody travelled in the Fulcara area between those times, whose dash cam footage, we please ask to make it available to Gardaí in Mulford on 915-3060 or is any information to Garda confidential line.
Yeah, and often in these instances, people might have mobile phone footage, so the appeal goes out in that regard as well. That was on Christmas Eve, going into the early hours of Christmas Day, of course. We know road conditions aren't fantastic out there at the moment, and often what we expect is bad conditions at night and then things improve and then maybe bad conditions at night. We're heading into a spell of weather whereby 24 hours effectively of a day for the next couple of days, we're looking at potentially very hazardous driving conditions.
Yeah. So, look, think everybody's aware that, you know, you need to take extra care on these road conditions. So look, we're just saying the best thing to do is stay off the road unless you actually have to make a journey. And if you do make a journey, please be prepared and know how to drive in the elements. So we have a couple of just a piece of advice here. Just manoeuvre gently, slow down, make sure you leave extra distance between you and the car in front. So avoid harsh braking and acceleration or too much braking. Use the highest gear you can to avoid wheel spin. And if you're travelling downhill, drive in low gear, especially through bends. And again, if you're in an emergency, please call us on 999 or 112.
Yeah, and of course, there are people in areas whereby they might not be able to get out for the next couple of days, or they might be vulnerable, or the power might go out. We just really don't know how this cold snap's going to affect people. So keep an eye out on each other, really, I suppose.
Exactly. Just check on your elderly neighbours, your family, friends, friends or neighbours, anybody who needs a bit of assistance. And if there is anything, any issue, please alert us and we'll do everything we can to help as well.
All right, Sean, great to have you back. Start of a new year.
Yeah, look, we just want to take the opportunity to wish everyone here at Highland and all your listeners a happy new year, and thank you for all your help to date, and we hopefully carry on in 2025.
Yep, fingers crossed. We look forward to working with Ungada Síochána throughout 25. Okay, Garda Sean Sweeney, Buncrana Garda Station, thanks so much for travelling down to us today.
No problem, thanks.
Back with more shortly. And you're very welcome back to the programme. It is the 9 till noon show, as I'm sure you're aware, here on Highland Radio. We're trying to keep you up to date with all that's happening out and about as well too, as we are in the midst of something of a cold snap. We have a yellow moderate weather warning, but it is causing inconvenience for people, and we want to be the conduit for information. So keep that coming into us and help us to provide that important service. Right, reading a newspaper article which suggests that nearly a third of newly qualified GPs emigrate. Dr. Dennis McCauley is president of the IMO, and he joins me on the programme now. Good morning to you, Dr. McCauley, and a very happy new year to you.
And you also, Greg.
That's a big figure, isn't it? Or is it? I don't know. A third
it is,
of...
It is a very big figure. We're now increasing the amount of GP training posts, but if a third of them are leaving Ireland, then we're really just running to stand still. I think that the issue is really that there's a shortage of GPs. The demand that we are experiencing every day, your listeners are aware of it, because A, they can't maybe register with a GP practice, or B, when they ring their GP, it seems quite a long time before they can see the doctor. The same day service has really, it hasn't gone, but it is nearly gone except for emergencies. In the last decade, there's 2,000, nearly 3,000 GMS doctors in Ireland. But in the last decade, only 120 have been added to that list. So there is something wrong, and we need to encourage young GPs to stay. In Donegal, we're having difficulty, you know, getting the doctors to cover maternity leave. Once again, I'm retiring at the end of next year. There was initially a difficulty getting a doctor to replace me, which is quite scary. But I think from your listeners' point of view, the big issue is that general practice is in trouble, and we need to do something about it.
Yeah, and we need to join the dots too, because I've done interviews in the past, as you might be aware, Dennis, whereby you know, the government recognises that there is a shortage of GPs, and they will quote figures in the Dáil and say, you know, okay, more GPs are retiring than are qualifying, but we're working hard, we're going to ramp it up, we're going to do this, that and then. But the gap in that information is the fact that 33% of the newly qualified GPs are heading elsewhere. So, you know, that deficit between newly qualified GPs that want to work here and those like yourself, unfortunately, who are choosing to retire and probably staying on longer than you perhaps would want to. I'm not talking of you, but I've spoken to GPs in the past that through guilt almost, that they stayed on longer than they want to. That gap's actually widening, but the figures would suggest, you know, it's not widening as much as it is.
No, I think I think the figures, you know, are figures, but people realize on the ground, people listening today wanting to see their GP know what the figures actually are. So what can we do about it? I think I do accept that there's more young GPs being actually trained, my daughter being one of them, and she'll be qualified soon. But it's how to retain them then. And I think the issue is that in the Irish Medical Organisation, we are trying to promote them to stay. There was previously we've talked about the FEMPI cuts that devastated general practice and put them in a sort of a mothball situation for a decade. That is now finishing. So we're trying to encourage young GPs to say that there is now a career in general practice. I wouldn't have been able to say that maybe 5-6 years ago. So there is a career, but the only real method that a young GP can actually go into general practice at the present moment is to join an actual practice. The whole concept of a young GP going into Letterkenny or Ballybofey and actually opening up a building, starting a list and actually starting that is really, really difficult. And that's, I suppose, there's not one magic bullet to this, but there is the from me as a retiring GP to encourage young GPs to stay. But also I think the government have a part to play as well in that if a young GP is starting off, we would ask that through capital allowances and grants that they are funded for the first year or two until they can get going. And I think that has a benefit for everybody. Ultimately then it'll mean there'll be another GMS list in an area which will help people when it comes to having access to a doctor. It'll actually help the doctors in that area as well, because there is burnout and tiredness, particularly for more smaller practices that are difficultly getting cover for their holidays. I think I'm in a larger practice, we cover each other's holidays, but a smaller practice, when they want to go on holidays, they have to get a locum. And if they've spent money on a holiday and that locum then doesn't come, it's very, very difficult. So the more practices there are, the better. Some of your listeners may say, well, you'll try and keep doctors out of an area. No, I just want, there's nothing like healthy competition. It helps the patients and it also encourages standards in general practice. And I'm all for that.
Yeah, I mean, not to mention the fact that there's always going to be a capacity, and
yes,
most GPs are exceeding that capacity. And people know that when they ring up for an appointment. Like, it's in everyone's interest that we do as much as we can. Actually, before I get to that, I want to talk about the rural-urban divide. Do you believe that you've talked about the difficulties in starting up a practice and what have you. Do you think that gap between, rural and urban access to GPs is going to widen in this county, if a gap's not already there in terms of, your local GP in your area?
I think so. I think it's already starting. Part of it is structural. Part of it is to giving the appropriate information. I think that, I would always contend that if you're as a young GP, whether you're working in Ballymullet or Dockey, that you should be working the same out of hours cover. And I think that's as a union, head of a union, that's the way it should be. But that isn't the case. There are some very rural areas, particularly of Mayo, where the older GP retiring is working a 1-4, 1-5. And there's not a chance that a young GP will actually come in and actually cover that. Mm-hmm. So the out of hours issue is an issue in relation to a barrier for younger GPs to think about going into rural practice. I think with time there will be what's known as a hub and spoke model, that there will be one bigger practice covering a larger area. With, like, for instance, we have a satellite surgery in Convoy that we use every day, but our major hub is in Stranorlar, and there will be more and more like that. There will be a situation that, out of hours you have to travel maybe 20, 30 miles in an emergency. But there will be situations that you will have access to your own GP, I would foresee, in your own town all of the time, but not all of the time.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's in everyone's interest, though, that we do have as many GPs as possible in as many areas. Because, I mean, obviously, and we've seen it over Christmas with the doses that were going around and people couldn't get in to see the GP and ended up in the emergency department or what have you, or being directed from NowDoc to the emergency department. Now, most of the people that are in the ED need to be there, right? I'm not suggesting that that's not the case. But the point is that if we have better access to GP services and get timely appointments, then it's going to ease pressure off the hospital system. So it's in everyone's interest that we build on the cornerstone, the foundations, or whatever phraseology anyone wants to use, to have a strong, very strong GP service throughout the country.
I agree with you completely. And the thing is, we don't have to speculate or you know, hypothesize what would happen if things could get worse. All we have to look at is Northern Ireland and in the UK. Wes Streeting now is going to try and engineer a payment for a doctor to keep the patient in their own surgery rather than refer them. And I think that, you know, as an older GP coming to the end of my career, I see a number of barriers. The actual medical legal barrier, which is another completely different talk, the ability to manage risk, the training that GPs get in order to manage risk, so that they can sort of say, Sean, your chest pain, I don't know what it is, but it's not your heart. So listen, you're fine. Go home. Mm. You're fine, and you're happy, and you go home. But the whole context of being able to manage risk, to be able to take a patient and reassure them and observe them, means that you have to have time with that patient. You have to be able to see that patient again the next week if there isn't an issue. But if you realise that that you are under pressure all of the time, that you may not be able to give that patient an appointment next week to come back to see how the abdominal pain is doing or the chest pain is doing, invariably it will increase referrals to outpatients or to the emergency services. So I think, yes, you're completely right, and we don't have to speculate. We only have to observe Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom generally to see general practice has collapsed there. It is very much a triage referral service. There isn't actually the same amount of medicine practice there as there is here, and we have to continue with it. We have to worry that could happen, and that's why all these measures.
Yeah, but we're watching it happen.
Are very important.
But we are kind of watching it happen in slow motion. And this is not anti-government or anti-anything or expressing opinions, mm-hmm. and observation. We have nurses leaving this country in huge numbers. We have GPs leaving this country in large numbers. Consultants moving out of the public system into the private system, offering very good services, it has to be said. And at the same time, we're trying to recruit from other countries, which I have no issue with that. That's not the problem, because that talks into a wider issue we have at the moment. But why don't we sit back and say, right, surely the best thing to do is, A, not drain the resources of another country that may well need their medical professionals, but also create a situation that means that people who are qualified here and who went through the education want to work and can work and live here and open a practice in the local area and have this vibrant system that supports the acute hospital system and helps care for us in our closer to our homes as we get older. Like, why aren't we doing that? I can't understand why we are standing back and we're watching as we let people go and then scramble to recruit people in. And it's not working because we can't get those people coming in necessarily to work in rural areas, for an example. That's one another problem. So, like, it's so obvious. Why aren't we addressing it, Doctor?
I think we have to work at the top. As president of the Irish Medical Organisation, I'd like to almost go beyond general practice. General practice, every day I'm still proud of the work that I do. I still enjoy general practice. We still, in Donegal particularly, we have a good standard of general practice. And that's the way it has been. It is beginning to change, and I want to change that. But when you go to the hospital, there's a figures I can share with you. Just at 48% of all medical admissions are from tier 3 hospitals. And that's the hospitals outside the bigger areas. And Letterkenny is the third busiest of those tier 3 hospitals. We have the smallest amount of registrars and training posts for SHOs in the country. So if you were a consultant looking for a job in Letterkenny, why would you come at the present minute? Why would you come? You know, there is no plan. There is a yearly budget. Trying to put out fires left, right and centre. Until we have a 5 or 10 year plan and Letterkenny knows how many beds they're going to have, how many registrars are going to be working with the consultant and the SHO, how many of those are going to be training posts. The actual attractiveness of tier 3 hospitals is getting less and less. Letterkenny, I think, being one of the main ones because of the amount of work we do mm-hmm. and the amount of lack of training posts that...
But just
that,
in relation to that, Dennis, there is clearly a resistance from the government to pump any more money into the health service. Stephen Donnelly, as health minister, if you listen to his comments quite clearly, frustrated that money's not fixing it. That there is managerial issues, structural issues, union issues, stuff that needs to be resolved to make it all work. More money, will improve things to a certain extent, but you need bang for the buck as well. So is there a reform that is there or can be there so that the government in responsibility with responsibility to taxpayers' money feels confident that money will deliver better outcomes? And you get where I'm coming from. I'm trying to make it more nuanced rather than just saying government bad, get more money into hospitals. I don't think it's that simple.
I think the normal retort of the politicians that health was a huge issue at the general election, and the go-to answer was we're putting more money ever, we're 25 billion or in the health budget every year. And then you have in June every year you have the health minister coming to the Department of Finance looking for more money on a gerbil running round a wheel, keeping things going. I think you have to plan. I think that if you had, for instance, if you could start it all again and you had a consultant-led service with a smaller amount of junior staff giving service in the hospital, if you had enough hospital beds, general practice wouldn't then have to do as much of the heavy lifting of doing a whole lot of the work that isn't really our work. And we would have a system that actually works. Now, how do you get there is the question. Unfortunately, we're going to need more. I'll start by saying we're going to need more money because we're getting older. We're getting a larger population. But yes, I agree that I don't want a yearly health budget. I want a 10-yearly infrastructurally planned health budget that knows that we know in Letterkenny how many new hospital wards we're going to get, and have them and have the capital allowance to that. We know how many new consultants are planned. If I was a young consultant training, I'd say, well, I wouldn't mind living in Donegal. That the way that's going to evolve, I will come here. At the present minute, no.
I know, I do believe plans are in the works to try and make Donegal appear a more attractive place. To attract consultants and what have you here. I think you can't scrub the internet either. I think you have to actually improve things. And here's me being so naive. You talk about long-term plans. I would love if health was taken out of the realm of politics altogether. And how would you do that? I don't know. You would have representatives from all political parties on some sort of a board with collective responsibility over the next 10, 15 years. Let's not quibble or squabble about, oh, Letterkenny's underfunded, put more money in, because we know the truth is that whoever is in power, it's not as easy as just opening up the checkbooks. I would just wish health could be taken out of the realm of politics.
Very difficult.
But it's naive of me, Dennis. But
I think if you look at the cancer service reform that turned out to be actually really well, the amount of local agitation, local political opposition there was to that. Remember that. That I actually suspect coming up to Brexit that the role of Alton and Galvin was planned in a much greater way that was going to be it was going to affect the whole way that Letterkenny General Hospital was going to be used, because you were going to have Alton and Galvin. I think Brexit completely changed that, and I think it sort of left people high and dry. So I think politics, if you just look at the cancer care services, if you had a commission in the UK, they call it a royal commission. If you had a commission in just having, say, okay, how are we going to run? How are we going to get to a consultant-led service with enough beds? And how are we going to do it in the next 7 years when we still have ability? How are we going to do public-private partnerships? All the various things to actually do that. But there isn't the political nuance for that at the present.
It's a fantasy of mine. Yeah, indeed. And thanks for the reality check, Doctor, as always. Okay, Dr. Dennis McCauley, President of the IMO. Gurma Hagut, thank you so very much, and Happy New Year to you and all your very hardworking staff. Take care of yourself there. That's off the back of a story that nearly a third of newly qualified GPs in this country are emigrating. If you're educated in this country, you should be bound to stay for a certain amount of time to pay back the cost, says a listener. That's an old chestnut that comes up. And there's always a bit of pushback from it. And it's not just from GPs or elected reps or whatever, from the public. A lot of the public don't like the notion of that either. Listening to Dr. McCauley, absolute fabulous doctor. We are blessed to have him in Stranorlar. And Kathleen makes the same point again. When a doctor qualifies, they should not be allowed to work in another country for 5 years. What are the actual ramifications of that, though? Would we find people moving to different countries to study, or I don't know what it would do for morale and so on and so forth. But it's a complete, it's a suggestion that comes up on quite a regular occasion, because it's obvious. It's kind of obvious that's what some people might feel should happen. Thanks so much for keeping us so busy on the lines today. A caller says, I was at Ilestrin National School at 9:30 this morning. At 10:40, I'm now outside Highland Radio. What is going on? You tell me. An hour and 10 minutes to get up that hill. Crazy stuff. It has impact on businesses as well, too, I'm sure. Hi, Greg. Do you know how to get in contact with the crowd that you do the one-day course to stop you getting 3 points on your licence for speeding? That was a proposal from the RSA. That hasn't come into effect yet, so I don't think you can get out of that one just about now. Unless I'm missing something, maybe there is other driver behavioural courses that are already in place, but that was a proposal from the Road Safety Authority that hasn't been enacted. Hi, can you tell me, please, what it's like getting into Letterkenny Town from Remelton Roadside? Listeners, it's over to you. Let me know, please. Hi, Greg. While I sympathise with your listeners regarding the weather, I left our son, his partner, and their one-year-old son in Derry Airport at 9:05 for their flight leaving at 10:25. Their flight didn't take off until 19:25, spending 10 hours in an airport with a one-year-old, and the child's fooled running out is no fun. No, it is not fun. My sympathies with them. A caller says the HSE is overwhelmed. There is a clinic in the hub behind St Connell's on a Monday and Thursday evening. You can discuss sexual health issues. You can be referred via your doctor or the hospital. It's a discreet service. There are also self-test kits which you can do at home for STI screening. Brilliant information. Thanks very much for that. I can help explain the STI rise, I think. There's a big anti-contraception push coming from online figures, and there's no counter-campaign. Online, there's a push to not use contraception. In the US, they plan to get rid of contraception completely. I feel that there's a political push. I get where you're coming from. I think some online speculation mixed with facts there. I haven't come across this push not to use contraception. I know there's a huge push on social media for people to have more children. But there you go. No bingo tonight in Milford. I'm sorry if you were going to play. It's been postponed due to the weather conditions. So no bingo in Milford. Hi, Greg. I see a couple's garden which fell into a river in Dublin has made the news in RTE. But it's been a very long time since the thousands of crumbling homes in Donegal have been mentioned. I also hope the people who voted for the Fine Gael government are proud, as it was this clique, the steady hand who oversaw our country being flooded with defective concrete products for over 20 years. And someone tagged me on something on the X platform. As I said, I just don't use it as much as I once did, but it was about their situation. And it's it says, thanks to the Green Party's policies, this is the temperature in my house. This is separate to defective concrete. This is just about living in Donegal in a cold house. Thanks to the Green Party's policies, this is the temperature in my house. I have a heart condition, but supposedly to be in temperatures lower than 13 degrees. The Green Party in Donegal does not care if you're living in temperatures like these. And the temperature indoors is 8 degrees. Now, I didn't get more information as to why it is so cold, but I did note down the country an awful lot of people with heat pumps and other heating that's reliant on electricity are really struggling at the moment because they're freezing without power. Some have had no power since Friday or Saturday. Their heat pumps aren't running and the houses are freezing and they've got no open fire and no way of heating the home. That's something maybe we didn't all think about as we moved away from traditional forms of heating, but it's a reality for many down the country, and normally if it happens down there, it's going to visit us before too long.